here.
Okay, welcome to Hebrew Club Moedon Ivri, and we are going through the penitential Psalms. And we finished Psalm 6 last time, right? Which one did we? I can't remember which one. 32. So we've done 6 and 32. We're skipping 38. We're going to come back to it actually after we do Psalm 51. Some people see them as two sides of the same coin anyway. Psalm 51 is a very popular psalm, and actually a great psalm, rather interesting. So we'll begin here. Notice the title is always the first verse, and here we see La Menatzeh Mizmor Le David, for or to the choir director. That's how that form is usually translated. A Mizmor, that's translated as psalm, and it scholars suggest the difference between this and shir is that this one is accompanied by instruments. Now that's just kind of supposition, because zamar means to play an instrument. So accompanied by instruments. Now that's why you have the difference in translation. But then again, yeah, and this is like this and shir, the two most common items in titles, and sometimes they occur together and separately, of course. So Le David, normally translated as by David or of David. And now two, notice here, this is one of 13 psalms with a historical little addition in the title. That's what makes this one very famous, because this one is the one we can all recognize. Bevo elav Natan ha-Navi ka'asher ba'el bat shava. In the coming to him, Nathan the prophet, so that you have that infinitive absolute with a bait. I'm sorry, infinitive, either construct, absolute, the form, I think, in this verb is the same. But temporal, see? So in the coming to him, Nathan the prophet, we would say, when Nathan the prophet came to him. Okay? Ka'asher ba. Ka'asher has a number of different meanings. You guys probably know it most commonly as temporal. When, most commonly. It can also mean after. Can also be causal, because he had entered to Bathsheba, or gone to Bathsheba. And so here you have the call, third masculine singular from Bo. So again, when Nathan came to him, I guess because he had gone to Bathsheba, or after he had gone to Bathsheba, and notice that we're really reading, we easily get the whole narrative. We know the whole story. So just by those few words, it recalls the whole story to us. All right? And so we're already putting this in a context as after Nathan had his little talk with David. See? All right? And we can see that David was a true kind of man of God, a child of God, because he recognized his sin. I mean, he didn't, notice, fight it. And that's what is, well, that's what a child of God does, realizes who he is and what he is, and then goes to the only place he can for relief. And that's what makes this psalm such a poignant one for us, and a tremendous one theologically. Any questions on the first two verses?
Tim, is it common to have an express subject like that for an infinitive? Nathan, in the coming to him of Nathan, almost?
Right, in the coming to him.
It's not a construct.
Right, sometimes you what may be unusual is to have that elav. So sometimes you would have in the coming of Nathan the prophet to him. So maybe the only way, you know, I'd have to check the word order, but I think it's probably more common to have the subject right more after. Directly attached to the infinitive.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, verse 3. Hanani Elohim kechas deka kerov rachamecha meche pasha'ai. Hanani is from the root chanan. It's a call imperative. So you have those double lines. And it's be gracious to me, chanan. Right. Elohim, O God, kechas deka, according to your chesed, according to your faithfulness or loyalty. Again, the gloss for English is a very difficult one to figure out because it's such a great concept here. According to the abundance of your racha mecha, notice that that's a plural. According to the greatness of your mercies, meche, call imperative, blot out or wipe away, meche, pesha'ai, my transgressions. All right. Notice that you have a nice, well, you'll see this more clearly, but you have these kind of chiastic structures, just as we're kind of looking to see how the parallelism works. Notice how the second thought kind of looks at the same thing from a little different perspective. Be gracious, O God, according to your chesed, according to the abundance of your rachamim, wipe away my transgressions. So notice that the wipe away is kind of defining what he means by be gracious. So it goes from more general to specific here. And so you kind of linger over this thought as he turns it around in his mind, which is a lot of the function, I think, of parallelism. When you have the repetition of similar thoughts, you know, sometimes with different words, notice that what you're forced to do now is look at something from a little different angle or more specific. So here's what he means by be gracious. Forgive me. You know, not just forgive, wipe it away. See? All right? Verse 4, Herev, I'll read it like that. Herev kavseni me'avoni u'mechatati tahareni. Okay, that first word, anyone see the root of it? It's from Rava. And it is a Hifil form. All right? Now, it looks strange because it is strange, actually. If you just look at the consonants, take away the two seg holes there, the consonants suggest that it should be read as an infinitive. Harbe, harbe. So that the, and then the next word, kabseni, is a PL imperative from kavas, which means to wash. So that would be wash me. Now, if this was a harbe, then the, you know, that would mean greatly. See, wash me greatly. In other words, we would see the function of the infinitive as adverbial. So that's where you get the wash me thoroughly or wash me completely. All right. The Masoretes have it pointed as if you want to read it as heref, so drop the hay, and read it as a Hifil imperative from Rava. So it's kind of like multiply. So it'd be very woodenly, multiply, wash me. And I don't know if in smooth English it would probably come out the same in the wash anyway, so to speak. Notice that the Masoretes are having you read the imperative, heref. So it becomes a little more what, colorful, a little more dramatic. Multiply or be great, wash me, or multiply, wash me. See, it's a little harder to understand that way. From avoni, from my guilt. Okay, and from my sin. Notice the chiasm. So actually, as a reader, you're actually lingering over this concept of sin and guilt and iniquity. And from my sin, tahareini. Here's a more common word for cleanse, synonymous with kavas, another PL. Tahor means pure. Tahar means to be pure. In the PL, to purify. Tahareini, purify me. Okay? Questions at that point?
So, Tim, yeah. If we read that first term as an infinitive, then it ends up being adverbial?
Yes.
Is that, can you do that with any infinitive preceding
yeah.
a finite?
That happens. Remember, Hebrew...
Like, I know when it's the same word when you have the infinitive absolute or something.
Yeah. So, Hebrew, unlike English, doesn't have a lot of adverbs.
Right.
So Hebrew has different strategies for making adverbs, and one of the way it does it is with infinitive. So another common one is that hosif,
you add to do something. Right.
So you do it again. Sometimes you add that om ending, like yom, yomam.
Right.
And sometimes it's just the noun that you use as an adverb.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not. And with harbe, this happens. I mean, this is that's kind of a common move. And that's what a lot of.
Well, it is from Rava.
Yeah.
And it's lexically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, that's why most translations go that way.
Okay.
Verse 5. Ki pesha'ai ani eda vechata'i negdi tamid. For my transgressions, I eda. I know. From Yada. Maybe in English, I realize. For I realize my transgressions. And my sin, Negdi, is before me, Tamid, continually. All right. So notice that the second colon here strengthens, I would say, or kind of underlines this, I realize it. Well, you can know it or realize it, but notice they're before me continually. It's like he's saying now, not only do I know it, but this is all I can think about. See? All right. Again, tamid is functioning, it's a substantive, but it's functioning as an adverb here, continually, always. Okay? Any questions through verse 5? All right. Verse 6. Lakha levadaka chatati vahara be'ineka asiti lama'an titzdak bedav reka tizkeh beshofteka. Now notice we usually translate this against you, but notice, let's just do kind of a little more woodenly. To you, levadeka, to you alone. Okay? Chatati, I have sinned. So notice, I mean, theologically what he's thinking, his sin wasn't so much, he committed murder and adultery. He sees it as against God. And notice how he reiterates it, against you, you only have I sinned. Vehara. And notice that we would, sometimes the direct article has this demonstrative force, and this evil. That which is evil, the evil thing in your eyes. This evil thing in your eyes. Asiti, I have done. Alright? So I don't know that in your eyes may have double duty. Mm-hmm. That which is evil in your eyes, and I have also done it in front of you. Mm. Can't hide it. Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of nice how, again, I love, you know, when you understand the Hebrew Psalms are actually poetry, and you start reading them with the habits of poetry. And so tension and ambiguity and more than one meaning is actually a plus. That's kind of the stuff you start to look for and see. And people say it's terse, but there's more to it than that. I mean, it leads to different effects in you. All right? Lama'an. Okay, so notice here the lama'an, purpose or result, so that tits dock, so that you are right. Be dovreka. This is actually a call, infinitive construct from davar, so that you are right in your speaking. It's kind of interesting. I actually looked this up because calls of davar seem rare, and they actually are. The PL for to speak is the most common one. It comes like 1,100 times. And the call is something like, I can't remember, under 100. All right, so it's that much of a disparity. But here you have a call for whatever reason. So that you are right in your speaking. All right? Tizket, you are pure. And again, here another infinitive absolute. In your judging. So that you are right when you speak. And you are pure, you are clean in your judging. All right, so in other words, God knows everything, and He's God, so that it's not as if He's being unjust in His judgment. Okay. Questions through verse 6. Right, good.
The fact that the var is in a cause that implies is it the function of that? I mean, we can't really say 100% that to say, oh wow, this is a unique form of device.
It's not that unique, yeah, it's just less common. And as far as I could tell, it means to speak or to say just like the PL, so I don't know. There may be a little nuance, but we don't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the variant on the Devarika, is that just the plural noun words?
The plural noun words, in your words. Yeah. And notice the Septuagint and Symmachus actually seem to use that.
Okay.
And it's very easy. A yud, they must maybe have a manuscript with a yud in it. Okay, verse 7. Hain be'avon cholalti uvechet yechematni immi. Look, in iniquity. This is one of just a few places, a handful of places where avon has a double vav in it. It's just a kind of alternate spelling. All right. Behold, in iniquity, now here's a strange word, cholalti. That's a polal. This is interesting, the root, does anyone know the root? It's heel. Heel means to writhe or to writhe in labor pains. Well, there's all kinds of stems. There are PLs, polales, polals, hit polales, hit polals, and here you have the polal. And so it means, notice the polale would be to bring forth, but the polal is the passive of the polale, to be brought forth. So that's what it means. And it's from heel, okay? So Brian, I expect in the quiz to be able to...
Six personal parts
that
looks bad now.
Yeah, I know. Pretty easy. Right. And some of them, you know, the funny thing is the form only occurs once somewhere else, so they got it listed. They had a whole list of them. I thought it was funny looking at those. So, behold, in iniquity I was brought forth. And in sin, yechemati. The root here is yacham. Yacham. And this is a PL. Again, it's not that common of a word. Some suggest that it's equivalent to chamam, which means to be hot. They add all kinds of things like, you know, the act of conceiving a child is done in the heat of the moment, stuff like that. But it's just easier just to translate it as to conceive. I mean, it's used a couple times and that's what it means. In sin, yechemati, notice the third feminine singular, and in me is the subject. My mother conceived me. So, behold, in iniquity I was brought forth, and in sin my mother conceived me. Okay? Verse 8, Heinemet, chafatzta batuchot, uvesatum chokma todieni. Behold, truth you desire, chafatz, in tuchot. This is a, again, I think it's a hapax. The singular doesn't occur, and actually in the lexicon, it is listed with the ot ending. And remember, some feminine singulars have that ot. And it means in secrecy or probably a reference, in secrecy or in the interior or in the conscience. Okay, so look, you desire truth, truthfulness in the conscience. I really like that translation, see, in the conscience. And in the satum, again, this is a call passive participle. Satam means to hide, to conceal. So in the concealed part. So again, it's referring to your interior, inside of you. So in the hidden part, wisdom, todieni, again, the hifil from yada. The force of this, I'm still struggling with. Does it mean, is he just asserting it? You make known to me wisdom in the hidden part? Or is it more of a plea? Make known to me wisdom. So you can go both ways with that. But again, normally because the first colon has this kind of assertion, you desire truth, the second one is usually translate that. You make known wisdom in the inner part. So maybe the action, you know, what we would probably call the action of the Holy Spirit on his conscience to reveal to him the nature of what God's will is for him, how he should have been living, how he wasn't living, those kinds of things. You know, when you think of wisdom, chokmah, you know, God's order for life, how we're supposed to live, what kind of people are we supposed to be. And it's God that reveals that to you in the inside of you. I maybe some people, you know, the fool says in his heart there is no God. So those are, you know, in wisdom literature, it's the fool who denies God and the fool who gets himself in all kinds of trouble even on the human level because he's not wise. He doesn't discern God's ways.
I mean, in the context, that would be kind of what Nathan acted, God's revealing nature. You know, what you just did was,
Right, so, right, through the instrument of Nathan, it's like, whoa. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, maybe. So I mean, if we look at it in this context, notice then that you could see a line like this as his describing of what Nathan did to him, the effect of Nathan's speech. You see, you're trying to interpret what happened to me, and here you're seeing it. It's kind of interesting to think about when you have this kind of a context. Okay. Verse 9. Techat eini be'ezov be'ethar. Tegapseni u misheleg albin. Here, this, notice this is a PL. You see the root kata, which means, notice, normally to sin, right? But the PL form has some, in just a few verbs, has this privative sense. Another example is sakal, and the kal means to stone, sakal. But in the peel, it means to remove stones. So here, kata means to sin, but in the peel, it means to remove sin. So, see, cleanse me with azo, hyssop, ve'etar, and I will be clean. Here's that word again, the peel, which we saw in verse 4. Wash me, tegapseni, and then snow I will be whiter. Okay, notice that albin is what conjugation? It's a hifil from Lavan. Hifils normally don't mean and I will be white, right? But this is a denominative from the word Lavan, white.
So and, we get the albino from it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's a good way to remember it, see?
Yeah.
Two were the price of one. And so here you don't have the causative sense. So you don't say, I will cause something. It just wouldn't fit here. And you have, again, there's a number of words, especially like denominatives, that don't even necessarily have a call form. I don't think Lavan does. I think there's a PL and a Hifil form. So wash me, and I will become whiter than snow. This is a great move that he's making. See, he knows that he stands before Yahweh, and Yahweh is the only one who can do anything. See, he's the only one. It's great. Yep. See, and this is why David is so beloved. See, wow. Verse 10. Tashmieni sason v'simcha, tagelna atzamot dekita. Cause me to hear. This is a hifil from Shama. Okay. Cause me to hear sason, rejoicing and simcha, and joy. I love that. Let me hear sason v'simcha. Now where? From probably inside of him and from outside of him and everywhere. I mean, I love how he pictures this. Cause me to hear this again. Tagileni is from Gil. Again, third feminine. Notice this is a third feminine plural imperfect. The subject, atzamot. So, make me hear joy and gladness. Let atzamot, the bones, now you have to supply the asher, which you have crushed, are broken from daka. This is a PL from daka. Which you have broken, let them exult or rejoice. See? we'll stop here at the end of verse 11 then. Haster paneka mechata'i v'kol avo notai meche. Haster, hide your face. Again, a hifil imperative from satar. Hide your face from chata'i, my sins. And all my iniquities. Notice the chiasm. When you're thinking about sins, he wants you to think about them a little. As soon as you kind of sense a chiasm, notice how your mind, as a reader, starts making connections between chata and avon, and haster, hide your face, and meche, wipe out. So, you know, it's kind of going into a valley, and you got to stay there for a while, and then you come out on either side, kind of the same as before. So, hide your face from my sins, and all my iniquities, meche, blot out. So notice you have the same plea at the end of verse 3 that you have here at the end of verse 11. Okay, any questions? All right, good. We will conclude this psalm then next week, and then we'll get into Psalm 38, another very interesting psalm, actually. All right, thanks, guys.